We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family-owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here, and we live in very uncertain times. Certainly, most Americans are concerned about the football season, approaching Christmas, and all this wonderful holiday season, but the world really is in turmoil, especially in the Near East and the Middle East, and certainly the United States is financing the violent terrorist overthrow of the government of Syria. They've already killed 20,000 civilians, maybe more than that. Hundreds of thousands of people have fled, left their homes, living in camps, living in abject poverty. The average American doesn't care that we're financing the murder and slaughter over there. Oh, we blame that on Assad. He's killing his own people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're the ones who are funding and arming and training the terrorists over there, but of course, we never talk about that here. We just assume that those terrorists appear out of nothing, come from other countries, and they somehow get salaries and weapons. And I mean, where do you go out and buy, you know, artillery? Where do you go out and buy automatic weapons and ammunition? You don't. You have to get it from a major country. They're getting it from the United States, but we can't let the common people know. But what we're doing is destabilizing a nation that has chemical weapons. Where did those chemical weapons come from? Why, of course, they came from Saddam Hussein. Where did Saddam Hussein get them? Why, they were built by Bechtel Corporation with the full support of George Shultz of the Trilateral Commission and certainly of Donald Rumsfeld of the Trilateral Commission. But the average American doesn't understand. These are the chemical weapons that we built. And now they're about to fall into the hands of the terrorists. Of course, we're talking about maybe even committing troops. I'm going to be very interested in knowing what Joel thinks about, really the cauldron that is smoldering over there in Syria today that could have dramatic effects, not only for that region of the world in Israel, but for America as well. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am, Stan. Good to be with you.
You pick up the story, and if you want to address that, or we'll talk about whatever you want to, whatever's in this week's World Affairs Brief.
Well, I certainly confirm what you're saying about Syria. This is a concerted attack. It's not an Arab Spring. It's not on behalf of democracy. This is about the overthrow of a regime that the United States has done business with for years. Syria was involved in extraordinary rendition with the United States, the Canadian. Mr. Arar was taken to Syria and tortured by the United States government and the Canadian government. So, you know, for them to suddenly try to remove Saddam or Bashar al-Assad is the height of hypocrisy, although he's, you know, the Syrian regime is tyrannical. I'm not in favor of the Syrian regime, but I'm less in favor even of the globalist intervening around the world in the name of democracy, because they're doing this for conflict creation purposes. And I've specifically stated in my World Affairs brief, the policy is to remove Assad because they want to remove the threat of a retaliation to Israel when Israel attacks Iran. So this has become a prime objective before the attack on Iran to take down Syria. And, you know, the recent story in the news about the takedown of Syria's internet and phone system is not what it appears to be. As the Sleuth Journal said, it's not that Syria's government didn't prepare for war. They perhaps suddenly prepared for the wrong kind of war. This week, when sweeping outages in Syria's communication networks were reported, Western media immediately accused the Syrian government of being behind the move to shut down the opposition. However, it should be noted that NATO-backed terrorists operating inside Syria have been openly given advanced communications equipment by Western nations, including the U.S., allowing militants to create their own independent communications networks. This includes radio, satellite, and cell networks, as well as underreported existence of suitcase internet. There has been a communication blackout in Syria, and it has not affected NATO's primary proxy forces because any node or bottleneck in Syria controlled by the government has already long since been circumvented, either through independent networks by the opposition or satellite links. The New York Times depicts what is called a mesh network, or an independent internet that uses computers and phones not only as interfaces but actual nodes to create networks and internets. And it's just something the U.S. hasn't talked about. But what's the scary thing about this, Dan, is that it means that the U.S. has the technology to intervene even in our own internet in certain crises to shut down the internet and keep operating government internets. This has nothing to do with peace and democracy. And, of course, you know, the Syrian... let me just back up and say that Pentagon sources tell NBC News the Syrian military is awaiting final orders to launch chemical weapons against its own people. This is absolutely false. Syrian Foreign Minister Faisal Maqdad correctly said Western powers are whipping up fears of a fateful move to use to the use of chemical weapons in Syria's civil war as a pretext for intervention.
That should be absolutely stressed. This is a pretext for intervention. We are going, either we or the people we tell are in control, are going to intervene over there. Go ahead.
Well, Syria stresses again, he said, for the 10th and 100th time, that if we had such weapons, they would not be used against its people. We would not commit suicide. Now, this is absolutely true. Syria knows all too well the U.S. is looking for an excuse to invade. They're not going to give them that excuse, so it has to be manufactured. To confirm this bad intent, Obama warned again yesterday that using chemical weapons would cross a red line and have consequences which he did not specify. What everyone knows, they mean invasion. This is the same pattern of globalist intervention we saw in other Arab Springs uprising. Remember, this is a case of bad regimes being tolerated for years by the United States and now being overthrown by globalists for reason of conflict creation. It has nothing to do with peace and democracy. I might also state that the stationing of Patriot missiles batteries in Turkey is also a sign of imminent Western intervention. The Patriot batteries are coming out of Germany and will be accompanied by NATO troops, supposedly to protect the batteries. The batteries are there to enforce a no-fly zone soon to come. U.S. aircraft carrier U.S. Eisenhower has arrived off the coast of Syria. This is another signal that direct intervention may be near. The carrier would also be ideal for enforcing a no-fly zone, which always ends up being a cover for direct aerial attacks on enemies.
We'll be back in a moment with Joel Scouts here at the American Freedom Network.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had the chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, No free reports and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Freedom, freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker. I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and of course Joel is talking about the very real danger of America invading Syria, and of course using the supposed threat of Syria using chemical weapons on its own people to justify our going in. That's just like saying America was going to drop atom bombs on the United States, you know, just to punish its people because they don't like the dissent that's here. And a lot of people are critical of the government. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. And yet the American people, most of them go along with it. After all, they believe what they read in the newspaper, and that's terribly dangerous because our newspapers are controlled. They're simply putting out propaganda to influence the mind, the outlook, the philosophy, the beliefs of the American people. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I've also predicted long ago that Russia will not come to the aid of its longtime ally in Syria. A senior Russian lawmaker said Syria's government is, quote, incapable of doing its job properly. A not-so-subtle hint that Russia is already maybe trying to distance itself from Assad. Keep in mind that the Russians are all too eager to allow the West to enhance their reputation as bullies of the world, a necessary prelude to justifying Russia's coming attack on the West. But even that is not imminent. Well, in another story, the DEA is taking a more prominent role overseas. Washington Post reports that the Defense Intelligence Agency is sending hundreds of more spies overseas in what is normally the territory for the CIA. For decades, there have been rivalries between the CIA, FBI, and military intelligence circles. In recent decades, it appears as if the CIA and FBI were largely working together to falsify or provoke terrorist prosecutions. Black operations seem to have dominated the entire field. Ron Paul's Facebook post indicates the reigning champion of civil liberties is concerned that the DIA is being expanded overseas and may soon rival the CIA in size. Now, the larger question is, are military intelligence officials getting fed up with the CIA not doing its job, or are they joining in with other dark side activities like the CIA? I don't know yet, but I'll be watching this to find out, because this certainly is very, very strange. There's also, you know, discussion about the new NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, has become one of the most watched and dangerous of all legislation passed each year. Because it is considered essential, dozens of controversial pieces of law are attached in order to ride its coattails to passage. This year, the bill passed the Senate unanimously, 98-0, after the bill was debated for 5 days and hundreds of amendments were considered on the floor. Added to the wide-ranging defense authorization bill is language that restores threatened Pentagon biofuels programs, and it issues new sanctions against Iran. It also made a controversial change to U.S. detention policy for American citizens. Now, if they were serious about unconstitutional detention of U.S. citizens, they should have repealed that language. As it stands, they merely gave it some lip service and then allowed for a huge loophole to undo that protection. This is precisely what Senator John McCain did as the faux champion of anti-torture legislation. What he finally agreed to pass was a ban on torture, quote, except as authorized by the president. Some ban. As Michael Kelly wrote for Business Insider, an amendment to the 2013 NDAA by Senator Dianne Feinstein, we ought to all be suspicious if she puts in an amendment, and passed with a 67-29 vote on Thursday, has been hailed as a way to end the prospect of indefinite detention of U.S. citizens, but it isn't, because there's a catch. Here's the key sentence of the amendment. Quote, an authorization to use military force, a declaration of war, or any similar authority shall not authorize the detention without charge or trial of a citizen or lawful permanent resident of the United States apprehended in the United States, here it comes, unless an act of Congress expressly authorizes such detention. Well, that specific act of Congress is the former NDA, which already has authorized. So it's like saying you're protected unless we deem otherwise in a previous piece, in which they have done. The American Civil Liberties Union sent lawmakers a letter, said the clause, unless an act of Congress expressly authorizes, could be read to imply that there's no constitutional obstacle to Congress enacting a statute that would authorize domestic military detention. This is a big unless, said Committee Chairman Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan. Wherever you have conflicting language in several versions of a law, the court are allowed to pick and choose the interpretation they want. The current trend in Congress is to leave things ambiguous so as to please both sides, even though only one side will prevail in the courts. And the courts have mostly come down on the side of more government power. Well, there's another story about a semi-automatic ban through the back door. The Obama administration is preparing a backdoor interpretation of current laws, a further infringement on the ownership of assault-type weapons. Longtime gun writer John Snyder writes that, according to confidential information, forces linked with the administration suggest that the government is going to reclassify semi-automatic firearms as part of Class 3 weapons. Under this scenario, semi-automatics with high-capacity magazines would be required to have a Class 3 permit, which requires a license, and it would affect some 100 million law-abiding firearm owners. Bringing semi-automatic weapons under Title II Class 3 would be justified because they could, quote, easily be converted to automatic. That isn't true at all. What this does, of course, is put these semi-autos into this same classification as automatic weapons, and it's just another way to start more gun control in the U.S.
And, of course, that is a prelude to dictatorship. There really are people who want a dictatorship here. And the one greatest impediment to that is the Second Amendment to the Constitution, which certainly President Obama doesn't believe in. He doesn't believe, and he's going right along with this move to centralize all power with the ruling elite. Go right ahead.
Well, let's talk about the North Korean missile launch. Much to do about nothing. U.S. objections to North Korea's proposed launch of another long-range missile is nothing more than verbal posturing. The U.S. never actively sanctions North Korea for misbehavior, not even for a small but deadly acts of military intervention against the South each year. To further U.S. hypocrisy, China conducted a mobile ICBM test in the past few days, and the U.S. said nothing. Neither did the U.S. intervene to keep China from developing nuclear weapons, as they claim. The last missile test by North Korea was a failure, causing no little international damage to its prestige. If this one is a success, it will further North Korea's threat of becoming a major trigger event for World War III. In fact, this is the reason I believe the U.S. never intervenes or threatens North Korea in any way. She's a puppet of China and will be useful as a belligerent in the next war. Well, there's another small story that I worry about. Mandated flu shots are becoming more common. There's a big company called TriHealth reportedly sent out letters to all of its employees several months ago notifying them that vaccination for the flu was mandatory this year. that all health care workers would have to get stabbed by the needle by November 16th in order to comply with company policy, and they would be immediately terminated if they refused the shot. You know, this kind of tyranny over people's bodies is just incredible, Stan. And, of course, there's no guarantee that you're not going to get the flu if you get the shot. If you don't take the flu shot, it doesn't mean that you're going to get the flu. As Judge Andrew Napolitano said in a recent Barney and Company segment about the issue, because of this, he added, workers who are threatened with termination or who are actually terminated may have grounds to actually sue TriHealth for wrongful termination, although it's really interesting that the government has given vaccine makers complete immunity from any problems related to vaccines, and the courts have consistently upheld vaccine makers against those, and I would suspect they would continue to protect employers who wanted to mandate vaccines. It seems like this is a major conspiracy against health that the establishment won't take no for an answer for.
Well, I think we're going to have to say no, and people are going to have to say fine. If enough people would say it, they would back down. People don't understand. You don't know what's in that vaccine. And there have been instance after instance after instance when there have been deadly diseases. The original hepatitis B vaccine, given the Second World War, 25,000 people contracted hepatitis B from that vaccine. The original polio vaccine had a cancer virus, and today 30 million Americans are infected with SV40, passing it from generation to generation, a cancer-producing vaccine. What most people don't understand is the AIDS epidemic, originally developed in America in homosexuals who had gotten the experimental hepatitis B vaccine. How did it get to Africa? The areas in Africa where they developed AIDS came about in the areas they used that experimental hepatitis B vaccine. And the areas they didn't use it in, they don't have it. Over 30 to 40 million people have died of AIDS, predominantly in Africa, from that vaccine. Are you going to take a vaccine that they tell you? You don't know what's in that vaccine. If anything happened, they just say it was just another mistake. Go ahead.
And these have been passed without any meaningful trials being done. So not only are they given immunity, these vaccine makers, but they're doing this without trials. And the FDA, you know, is passing these things along. You know, similar things happening. There's a bill now that in Congress that they keep trying to slip in a rider that exempts GMO, you know, manufacturers from any liability. These are the same GMO riders we were told about last July, Section 733 of the Agriculture Appropriations Bill, so-called Farmer Assistance Provision, would we might just as well call it the Monsanto Protection Act, which stripped federal courts of the authority to halt the sale or planting of illegal, potentially hazardous GMO crops, even if the court has told them to stop. While the USDA is still assessing potential hazards, sounds like the same exemption granted to the vaccine makers, the Secretary of Agriculture must, under this provision, grant any farm operator, producer, upon request, a temporary permit allowing GMO crops to be planted and cultivated, even if a court has called for a halt to it until environmental impact statements is completed. The rider will almost certainly be included in the omnibus appropriation bills. The second rider, which has been attached to the farm bill, would outlaw any review of genetically modified engineered crops and their impacts upon the National Environmental Policy Act, the Endangered Species Act, or any other environmental law, and no agency other than USDA would be allowed to provide analysis. Even worse, even if negative information were allowed, this would have no effect on the approval of GMO crops. It is less likely that it would be included in the funding bill, but entirely possible. The biotech lobby Monsanto is pushing these riders hard to get them folded into last-minute funding packages.
And I think we need to keep stressing that they are actually poisoning intentionally and purposely and maliciously the American people. Europe will not allow them. They know this produces infertility and cancer and affects the mind and the body. GMO crops are poisonous, and they are murdering the American people a little at a time. And where is the outcry from our media? Why, they say there's no danger. You know, there's no scientific evidence, and yet there's all sorts of scientific evidence that should be so apparent, and yet the media is certainly totally compromised on this.
That's right. And, you know, I think people are beginning to really understand this, but it's becoming very, very difficult to avoid GMO-type crops. They're in everything.
Absolutely.
They're in all the chips that you eat. Everything that comes out in corn and flour, you know, is GMO-engineered now. And so the long-term effects of this are going to, you know, show up as other diseases, and they'll never point back to GMOs, just like when you have sudden death syndrome. Doctors never allow you to point back to vaccines that may have happened 2 days before. It's just incredulous how there is kind of a black wall against investigation. These two major areas that are very, very evil and dangerous to our health.
America is under attack today from within. Don't worry about the communists in Russia or in China or the terrorists over in the Middle East. We are under attack. The people in New York City today, from Monsanto and the 11 people who hate this Christian nation, the prayer people.
Computer Lab in Fort Collins reminds us, most blood donors find giving blood to be a heartwarming experience. Give blood at least once in your life, if not several times a year. Your donation helps assure that blood will be there when someone you love needs it. This message is from Computer Lab in Fort Collins. If you're in need of computer repair, call the professionals at 219-0004. That's 219-0004. Or visit online at ColoradoComputerLab.com. Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley, ask everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be part of something great. This message from Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley, named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. Call 970-352-2233, 970-352-2233.
Freedom, freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker. I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh, or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Dan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, would you tell our listeners how they could get in touch with you, get a trial copy, and hopefully subscribe to World Affairs Brief, and then tell them how to get hold of your books on preparedness so you, the people can begin making preparations for the devastating and terrifying times that lie ahead.
Well, that is my purpose in writing these books, Stan. You know, I try to alert people to the dangers of liberty. We are losing this battle over time, and we need to prepare for what I refer to as the takedown, where great wars are brought upon us in order to stampede people into accepting a new world order. So I've written a lot of preparedness books in my career as a high security architect. My main work is called The Secure Home. It's over 700 pages, and it's about how to do everything relative to security and self-sufficiency of a home or a retreat. All of my books, you can see pictures of them on my website, joelskousen.com. My main seller, by a long shot now, is Strategic Relocation, which is really entering bestseller status in Amazon now. Although I recommend that they pick up these books from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And they are among the best sellers that we have, the books that we among the books we carry. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, we ought to support Stan's work, you know, by buying books from him where we can, because we really appreciate the great work you do, Stan. And people can get a free sample copy of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
So turning to the
fiscal cliff now, there's immediate onslaught against Republicans. Even though Republicans don't intend to cut spending, there's a major media attack on the GOP's intent not to raise taxes on the rich. Even the dire term fiscal cliff is meant to stampede the nation into demanding a bailout of big government spending via tax increases on the rich. Otherwise, they claim we're going, quote, over the cliff. It's like TARP all over again, Stan, threats that the nation will fail if we don't bail out big government policies. The nation needs drastic spending cuts, not more taxes. It already taxes too much, and the rich already pay over 90% of the nation's taxes. If anything, the 50% of the nation that pays no taxes should be paying their fair share. But all we hear from the media is how the Republicans are responsible for the nation's failure if they refuse to tax the rich. Quote, the GOP is losing the fiscal cliff debate and further destroying its own brand in the process, cries the Daily Beast. Republicans are being painted as cruel and unresponsive, and Obama the fiscal hero. He's nothing of the sort. The taxes he's proposing will eventually apply to all of us as inflation pushes the middle class into the rich tax brackets. Are you willing to raise taxes 4% on the wealthy or let the nation go over the cliff, another media outlet asks. I don't know how many times I've heard that evil choice being thrown up to Republican congressmen on all the television or radio talk shows. The media never taunts the Democrats or asks, quote, are you willing to cut the $1 trillion in new Obamacare taxes over the next decade or let the nation go over the cliff? They never push that kind of thing on Democrats. Manipulated polling is even playing a role in the debate. According to the liberal Washington Post, 77% of Republicans say it's a bad idea for members of Congress to sign a pledge to never raise taxes on the wealthy. According to a new Quinnipiac University poll released Thursday, well, they don't tell you that this poll was done by an obscure liberal university and taken in a predictable liberal Republican area. But even the Republicans under John Boehner are proposing a whopping $800 billion in tax increases. The White House quickly rejected, of course, the Republican proposal. They want to push that old tax-the-rich scheme, which opens the door to class envy and class conflict. Well, the threat of a government shutdown is the same tactic the media used to support President Clinton when he shut down the government after Republicans refused to increase the debt ceiling, blaming it totally on them. Well, never mind that Clinton didn't have to shut down essential services, only the non-essential ones that needed to be cut. The shutdown of key government services was done to generate a massive demand by the public on Republicans to give in to Democratic demands. If the stalemate persists, the Dems will use this tactic again, and we'll see it. The Republican-controlled House has the power over the purse strings, and their biggest weapon is the debt ceiling restriction. It's the greatest balanced budget tool ever invented. Now the government comes up against the ceiling every year. All they have to do is stop authorizing more deficit spending, and it will force the government to live within its means. But that has never happened yet for fear of shutting down the government and blaming those who champion fiscal responsibility for the halt in services. In this case, the Republicans aren't even being responsible, or fiscally responsible. They, of course, are implying more taxes. They're merely proposing less spending than the Democrats, but no actual cuts in the size of government. But realistically, you know, Stan, in raw democracy, no one can get elected in urban areas by cutting government benefits and programs. As I've said many times, there's no political will. Each recipient demands all of his benefits, even as the nation descends into insolvency. Cut the other guy's programs, not mine. This week we saw the purging of several arch conservatives from House committees that deal with budgetary matters. Constitutional conservative Justin Amash was one of them. He noted the incivility of the purge. Rumor has it, he said, that I've been removed from the House committee on the budget. Remarkably, I've still not received a single call, an email, or text from Republican leadership concerning this story. In fact, I wouldn't even have learned about it if it were not for the news reports. Isn't that incredible?
Yep, it sure is.
Nevertheless, Republicans in general are being attacked mercilessly for opposing tax increases. Just as high regulation and union labor drove many companies overseas, high tax rates in Britain caused a brain drain and a capital drain to the U.S. Do we really want to push America's most wealthy to move offshore? There may even be a shift in as the wealthy flee high taxing states for state tax havens. The deal to sidestep the federal government's fiscal cliff could end up pushing New York State to the edge of its own precipice. Top New York officials seem oblivious to a wave of federal tax hikes due to hit the state's tax base as soon as next month. Higher taxes set to kick in January 1st, and it could drive, the soak-the-rich increases could drive a lot of people out of New York. New Yorkers earning $1 million or more generated 14% of the entire nation's federal individual income taxes in that bracket, according to IRS data. So 14% of any tax rate increase targeted solely at these top wealth earners would come out of New York's pockets. Of course, since the federal income tax is inherently redistributive, any federal deficit reduction deal relying on income tax hikes is likely to hit harder in New York than other states. But Obama isn't just out to raise marginal tax rates. He also wants to limit their itemized deductions. And while the GOP leaders also do this, deduction curves would hit New York harder than any other state because thanks to their heavy state and local taxes, New York's highest income taxpayers claim a much higher percentage of these kinds of deductions on their tax returns than other states. So any deal to squeeze or drop the tax break would have huge implications for New Yorkers and California.
We're going to be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here, the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Union Colony Insurance in Greeley takes time to welcome our troops home. Remember when you see them to thank the men and women in our military service for their dedication, selflessness, and courage, and continue to pray for the safety of those still serving overseas. May God bless our troops, and may God bless the United States of America. This message of appreciation is from Union Colony Insurance, 1218 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 352-9500 for all your insurance needs from A to Z.
Well, Dr. Stan back here for our last segment with Joel Skousen. Joel, you go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about the fact that these states that have accumulated a lot of wealthy people are really going to suffer. You know, and these are states on the near edge of bankruptcy anyway. They cannot afford to destroy their tax base, and these high tax increases are really going to impact states like New York and California. California is also seeing the flight of both businesses and the wealthy. Both states, in my estimation, deserve to fail. They lead the nation to some of the worst laws and regulations in the country. Even worse, Obama's plan not only calls for $1.6 trillion tax increases over 10 years, $50 billion in new spending in 2013, but listen to this, doing away with the debt ceiling annual vote by giving the White House new power to raise the federal debt limit on their own. Once this happens, there'll be no stopping of deficit spending. Remember, politicians love deficit spending because it allows them to expand government without allowing citizens to feel the pain in taxes.
But you cannot, you know, indefinitely continue increasing the debt because you have to pay interest on the debt, and pretty soon all the money that the government takes in goes to pay for interest on the debt. And certainly our debt started at $1 trillion in 1980. By 1988, it was $2.7 trillion. Certainly by the time that Clinton left the White House it was, and George W. Bush came in, it was about $5.7 trillion. When George W. left the White House, it was about $10.7 trillion. It's over $16.3 trillion today. It's increased almost $6 trillion. With Obama in the White House, people don't look at the figures and understand, not quite $6 trillion, but about $5.5 trillion in simply 4 years. And what's going to happen in the next 4 years? Eventually, why the debt destroys a nation.
Well, it's true that eventually that happens, although there's a couple of things they're using to push that day of reckoning further out. One of those is the QEs 1, 2, and 3, where the Fed starts buying up its own debt, which is actually pure inflationary. And they can really use the inflation gimmick for a lot longer than people think without it reaching hyperinflation. Because of the large money supply out there of U.S. dollars, they can inflate up to $3 trillion a year and never even exceed 1% of the money supply. And they're right now inflating to the rate of about 11%, according to M2 figures. It's driven, a lot of that isn't getting into the economy. It circulates in the speculative economy, the forex markets and the money markets and hedge funds and derivatives. But what is seeping through into the economy is raising our true inflation rate to about 7-9% a year. And as long as they keep it below 10%, even though it's a hardship on the nation, it won't cause collapse. I think, as I've said before on your program, they want to push this collapse out till at least 10 years from now when war will cover for that collapse and get the blame. Then our government can come out of their bunkers and claim that it's not their fault that everything collapsed. And they'll push us into a new world order when this nuclear war comes. And it's interesting that you can't have a new world currency without a new world order, because somebody has to determine how you're going to inflate that currency, and the Fed is certainly not going to give up their power over the dollar and hand it over to a bunch of world bureaucrats at the UN, they're going to keep control. And that means they'll be in charge of the New World Order when it comes upon us after this coming war. So it's very, very important for people to prepare for that if we're going to live to fight for liberty another day. Well, George Grover Norquist, the nation's most high-profile tax reform lobbyist, is being painted as the devil incarnate in this, in all of this. He runs Americans for Tax Reform, an organization pushing for a flat tax solution, which I don't necessarily endorse. But he rightly pushes his no new taxes pledge. We really do need a lot less taxes, which Norquist believes in. But be careful. Once we get a flat tax with no deductions, we better make sure it's difficult for the government to raise that tax or we're all sunk. And that's the problem. You know, I don't think they'll actually eliminate the income tax. They'll just simply push a flat tax as an addition to promise to reduce some of the income tax. And one thing that's important to remember, that even if it's a flat tax, it still doesn't remove the IRS or the invasion into your privacy that an income tax, because it's still an income tax. It's just a flat rate, and so you're still subject to all the record-keeping and all of the things that you have to go through with income tax. Well, naturally, the left is gleefully documenting Norquist's, quote, waning influence, praising every weak-kneed politician that defects from his no-new-tax pledge. And Jack kind of wrote an interesting article this week with Senator about the ideological differences in Republicans between the libertarian and the authoritarian wing. That includes the neocons and others in the Republican Party. He says, generally speaking, the libertarian strain is what generations have always thought of as traditional American conservative limited government. Individual liberty, free markets, strong national defense, and loyalty to the Constitution. But this is the, however imperfect, is the conservatism of Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan. Reagan told Mike Wallace in 1976, I think the heart of my philosophy is much more libertarian. He thought it was important to make this distinction. But the authoritarian strain in the Republican Party is what makes conservatism tick throughout 2000. Bigger government, expanded entitlements, attacks on individual liberty, state intervention in the economy, stimulus, bailouts, TARP, and aggressive national defense, all these wars of intervention. This is the conservatism of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Strangely enough, it's generally the conservatism of Barack Obama, in that most of his authoritarian policies are echoed in our succession to the Bush policies. So this week, there were dozens of headlines and stories speculating that Republicans were suddenly throwing longtime anti-tax activist Grover Norquist under the bus. Some seem eager to do so, but the argument between Norquist and such Republican leaders who now say they'll break their pledge also represents the tension between the libertarian and the authoritarian side of the Republican Party. And that's what we're going to see stand play out in these budget deficits. Those who praise the few Republicans now willing to compromise on taxes or revenue are missing the point. These Republicans have been behaving like Democrats for years. They were the quintessential Bush Republicans, tolerant of massive government intervention in domestic policy and exuberant about it in foreign policy.
We're out of time, Joel. God bless. Talk to you again next week. Thanks so much.
Ladies, this is Danny Golden informing you that heart attacks in women can be different than heart attacks in men. Women having heart attacks will experience nausea, vomiting, indigestion, shortness of breath, or simply sudden and extreme fatigue, but no chest pain. Get emergency medical help and call 911 immediately if you are experiencing any of these symptoms. Pain, pressure, burning or squeezing in the chest, jaw, shoulders, back or arms that last more than 5 to 10 minutes. Unexplained shortness of breath lasting more than 5 to 10 minutes. Sudden severe nausea, vomiting or indigestion. Sudden sweating for no reason. Sudden unexplained extreme fatigue. Loss of consciousness or fainting. Or sudden unexplained panicky feeling of doom. The key, ladies, is to listen to your body. Follow your instincts, and if you experience symptoms that are disturbing to you in any way or even remotely related to your heart, get yourself checked out right away. If your doctor brushes you off, that's a sign you need a new doctor, one who will actually do what is necessary to get to the bottom of your symptoms.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out of the Colorado, Wyoming area that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You could become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you had something you'd like to advertise with us, donate. If you'd like to get our books or DVD sets or CD sets, this all helps to maintain our network in the afternoon and evening. And of course, you can hear our programs on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And we do have live internet broadcasts there 4 hours a day. And then, of course, we have our archive programs and so much more. You can read our newsletters. You can watch our DVDs. But the important thing is to get others to understand that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. We are being controlled by a small clique of people. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll hear our talk on the Agenda 21, the covert plan. It'll give you the overview. What is Agenda 21? It's the secret plan of the elite for the 21st century. Who are the elite? Well, we simply tell you in my book, we tell you in the talk, we list the organizations, we list their program to kill off the majority of people in the world. And they're poisoning us now with GMO foods, they're poisoning us with aspartame, they're poisoning us with MSG, they're poisoning us with bisphenol, which lines every tin can in every baby bottle, and whenever you warm up a baby bottle for a child with formula to feed an infant, why, of course, they're getting bisphenol, which, of course, feminizes the boys and predisposes little girls to breast carcinoma. Why do you think one in every three women get breast carcinoma today? It's in the, or one or another form of carcinoma. They know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, they do the same thing with milk produced with recombinant bovine growth hormone, increases dramatically the incidence of both breast and prostate cancer. They certainly know the effect of the genetically modified foods. They know that they're poisoning the American people. They just don't want you to know. A lot of these things are not allowed in other countries, but they're allowed here. How can that be? Well, you need to see my DVD, Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. I also have a talk on population control of the COVID agenda. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need to begin redesigning your life, your method of eating, because they're poisoning the American people. Do not take the vaccines. They contain mercury. They contain aluminum. They contain aspartame. They contain MSG. They contain formaldehyde. Not all of them individually they do. And then you never know what else they are putting into them. And many people who take the flu vaccine come down with influenza. We don't take the flu vaccine, and we don't get influenza. But we do use vitamin D3. You need to certainly go to our website, look at the various health supplements we carry. And I will tell you, you should be taking large doses of vitamin D3. you should be taking, certainly during the flu season or when you're traveling, something called Allibiotic. It's Allibiotic. Consists of oil of oregano, oil of elderberry, and garlic, and several other herbs, and it will help to boost your immune system. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty Mindment. Our business next until Monday. May the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
We the people of the United States.